Bleiben Sie aktiv und zusammen mit uns nah am Marktgeschehen. Alle Episoden finden Sie auf www.chartered-investment.com/podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to today's episode of Funds in 15 Minutes, this time with Joel Mock. Joel, very happy to have you, in particular as one of the founding partners of Orbit, the German law firm dedicated exclusively to investment fund advisory services. And well, Joel, today we have the wonderful title of our episode, the PE Decree, Munich Fear and New Options, German Fund Structuring Through a Tax Lens.
David, thanks a lot for the very kind introduction and for having me today, particularly with this very important and slightly confrontational subject. Great to be here.
Lovely, lovely, Joe. So as our listeners know from Funds in 15 Minutes, we jump right into the particular questions. And first of all, given that this is a specialist topic, so to say, give our listeners a little bit of a glimpse on this particular topic. So if you had to explain fund structuring through tax lens in just a sentence, you may also use two if you want. What is it actually really about, and why does it often decide fundraising success or even pain?
You can break it down to two key elements, which is just the global expectation of everyone who is investing in a fund, which is A, no taxation at fund level, and B, no tax filing obligation in the home jurisdiction of the fund. It's these two very simple points that everyone expects and that you need to comply with when you structure a fund.
All right, all right. So we got to move forward, and considering the LinkedIn articles your law firm has just published frequently on tax related topics, let's somehow de-drama the labels. So in practical terms, what is actually the difference between a so-called non-trading and a trading German fund, and what does actually change for investors in the real world considering this differentiation?
As with many things, a German particularity, and rather for the worse than for the better, we have a yin and a yang kind of version of funds. The yin is the so-called asset managing status that is exactly in line with the global expectation of each fund investor. So A, no taxation at fund level. B, no tax filing obligations for foreign investors investing in such German funds, fully with in line with what you want to have, what you want to see. Check the box, that's done. Then we have the trading tax status, which comes A, with trade tax burden at a fund level, but B, and that's the bigger problem, tax filing obligations for non-German investors coming into these funds. Because the trade tax level at the fund, they are, let's say, not super substantial. It depends on the mix of income. But if we generally look at the PE fund, the VC fund, also in infrastructure, you generally can mediate the tax leakage at the fund level quite well. But what you cannot mediate in a way is that it's either a tax filing obligation or it's not a tax filing obligation. It's a super easy tax filing obligation. And in my personal opinion, I think it's the most disregarded tax filing obligation globally. Hardly, I think, everyone really complies with it by the end of the day, but it does not matter because it's there. And we have international money comes along in their own organizational documents with the requirement to not trigger any tax filing obligation where they're investing. And so the conversation between a GP that is managing a trading fund and a foreign investor is very short. Do you have tax filing obligations? Yes. Okay, goodbye. Moving on to the next product.
Very well explained. Thanks, Joe. So we're moving a little bit south, just to complement what we want to talk today. And circling back on your publishing activities, you've described the so-called German private equity decree, the German PE decree, as a kind of rock in the surf for non-trading structures, right? And What are the make or break criteria that actually decide whether a partnership stays non-trading?
The holy trinity of trading triggers. It is it's threefold. First, deemed trading. Deemed trading is merely a structural concept. We can control that. If you don't want to be deemed trading, you need a managing limited partner, not more, nothing less. So easily to mediate and to manage. Second one, infection through trading income. This second one, fortunately, now has been tuned down substantially by the German Tax Administration. We had judgments 6 or 7 years old that said, okay, it by far doesn't have that impact that the German tax authorities always wanted to put on it. Nevertheless, for 5-6 years, they were fighting against these judgments. Now, finally, the tax authority fell in line, is accepting that the trading infection is like tuned down really to the source of income, where the trading income is coming from. So the third one, and that's the actual issue, is trading activity of the fund. What does the fund do? And that kind of activity either is then trading or is asset managing. So we have two items we can manage quite well, and we have one item that is more or less just giving to us. We have the as you say, the German PE decree that gives us guidance, but it is the number one, let's say, point for falling into the trading bracket. And within trading activity, we have a bunch of prongs again. There's like things like recycling. Like, for example, I could never do an asset managing evergreen in Germany, but no one is doing an evergreen in Germany, so not that much of an issue. There are borrowing restrictions and so forth. Also, these work quite well in the fund concept. What you have as the real, let's say, a blocker is the matter of involvement on a portfolio level. How much do I go into my portfolio? How much do I influence day-to-day decisions in my portfolio? Is it what we call an active strategy? Like, is it a turnaround situation? Do I even expect to be part of the of a C-level as a fund manager? Do I want to go into the portfolio, become a CFO? Do I want to be on a board where I have influence on daily decision-making? Then we are in the active bracket. If that's not the case, we're in the asset managing bracket.
Okay, perfectly understood. Yeah, so you've already slightly indicated of what I'm thinking of the next question, given that there's a remarkable fear-driven narrative in the market. So about rumors, half-truth, and a lot of anxiety. Without getting into specifics, so to say, so what do managers and how do managers actually separate real risk indicators from the noise we see at the market?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Because quite frankly, I think we can even put it a further level up. I think it the answer to the question is the same, like, how do I identify misinformation on the internet?
Yeah.
Quite frankly, that's what I googled now, and the AI large language models propose you there are three prongs you should check for: A, source and sender. So who is telling you this? If it's a provider who might want to sell you the next possible solution for a trading structure, he might have an interest why he's one is selling you that. It might be someone who has an interest to overstate the risk actually inherent to what you're planning to do. Content and language. At AI videos, check for lip movements that don't match the tone. Very similar in our market. Is there someone that the language does not fit the content? Is someone creating time pressure artificially? You're supposed to take a decision. Now is the time. Now you have to change it 180 degree from asset managing to trading, or otherwise you're in prison. All these kind of arbitrary decision arbitrary signaling that want to force you to make a decision. All of that, you're an investment professional. As an investment professional, if that is happening on a deal, you become suspicious. Have the same kind of suspicion when it's coming from someone else on your legal structure that you need to change right away. Otherwise, there's a huge threat of loss. If the discourse is very emotionalized, if there's any other way of of you're supposed to be pushed into a certain direction and you don't fully understand why, it might be a good signaling that this is part of fear-driven or rumor-driven or interest-driven storytelling and narrative, and not necessarily the result of a really unbiased, cold-blooded decision-making.
Very well described. Very, 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 very illustrative. Many thanks, Joe. Let's move a little bit further. So we do not have so much time left, as everybody knows from Funds in 50 Minutes, right? And let us assume a strategy that simply doesn't fit in a non-trading profile, right? So what are your perceptions of the three most practical levers to make a German trading structure still investable without hand-waving away the tax reality you just described?
To break it down to three, and now the first one I do not count. The first one is very simple. Do you have only German investors? Because if you only have German investors, don't care about trading. Trading is not an issue. German investors love a trading structure, unless you have like tax-exempt German investors. Maybe that is a different bracket, but the general German investor is super happy with the term with a trading structure. So, non-issue. If it is, however, that you want to raise funds abroad, outside of Germany, I think gradually you can cluster is as follows. The first one is simply explain and support your investor. Make him aware that it's going to happen. You will be running into a tax filing obligation. However, the tax filing obligation is super slim. It is slim in content. There's not much of a tax leakage to be expected. It is really nothing more or less than a substantial administrative pain. So maybe bring along your tax advisor, introduce him to your investor. Here, this is the kind of person that will handle it for you. Once per year, you get something to sign, and this is basically it, minimal cost. Second one, more on an institutional level, also would be, as always, look for blockers. Yeah, usually on a feeder level, you would look for setting up blocking entities. Ideally, maybe have the blocking entity in Germany as well. Otherwise, we run into substance issues again that we're just trying to crawl out of. But generally, think about blocking entities, different ways to set it up. As a very bright line, if you have only very few foreign investors that could maybe hold 15% of each in the as a stake in the feeder, that's already a super route to go forward to. Third way, corporate parallel funds for your non-German investors. Why corporate? Well, corporate fund necessarily does not trigger tax filing obligations in Germany. There's no withholding on distributions from a German corporate fund. But you have to look at the tax leakage at a fund level in these cases.
Let's delve into one further minute. Let's delve into, you've just indicated that, into foreign investors and foreign LPs. You just recently publicly suggested that legislative change, Germany could open a new route for attracting foreign LPs for German PE and VC funds with more active strategies. I know that it's a set of a manifold of questions, however, on a high level. So what's the actual tax concept behind this current move, and what conditions would you would need to be met for it to work in practice?
It basically connects to my last point. We mediate the tax leakage at the level of the corporate fund. Because that so far has been a pain. If the corporate fund was also assumed to be trading, which, believe it or not, kind of were the same criteria, it would be running into trade tax and corporate tax on certain income at its level in Germany. So now what has happened on the legislative side is that the legislator basically wrote into the tax code, so you are not trading as a corporate fund if you have a long-term investment strategy, full stop. None of the seven other criteria that have been put forth in the PE decree, only that one long-term strategy, and that is what is in the code. So if we take that serious, it makes it substantially easier to not run into trade tax at a fund level, thereby mediating the tax leakage at the fund level, and thereby all of a sudden we have a very attractive access vehicle for foreign investors in Germany. As said, no withholding. We can manage the tax leakage substantially now at a fund level. No tax filing obligations. We're fully in line. Basically, what you expect from it. I do understand that within the market, you hear the concept is not ripe yet. The lawyers still need to wrap their head around it. I can promise everyone we have been wrapping our head around it, and we think now we have every piece together to make this really a new model that can work well in the German market.
Wonderful summary, Joe. Many, many things. So last but not least, given that our podcast is, or usually our episodes are published on a Friday, let us end today's episode with your Monday morning fix, so people have time over the weekend. So one step every manager should take early to reduce tax structuring risk before it becomes a fundraising blocker. What is it?
The regular advisor's response is involve us as early as possible, as heavy as possible. Let me draw up 5 structure charts, make 6 proposals, and do not talk to anyone before that. I would like to take it from the other side. By the end of the day, we need to raise a fund before we run into blockers. So if there's no fundraising, there's also nothing to solve for. I've seen it often enough that by the final closing, we had to wind down blocking structures because there was no one, there was no appetite for it. So why do we come along with structures that by the end of the day, that might not even be used? So as it start, yes, talk with a fund lawyer. No, don't talk with your regular corporate lawyer. Don't talk with your best buddy. Also, don't look what Sequoia or whatever is doing. You don't understand it, first of all. Go to a specialized funds lawyer, and he should ask you 3 simple questions. What do you want to do? Where do you want to raise? Are you really raising there? And what else are you doing regulatory-wise? And with these 3 answers, he will give you a general guidance on what the setup will be, and then go out there, make it happen, raise your fund. Don't be fear-driven. Make it happen, and then go to your specialized advisor and let him fix the rest.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was Funds in 15 Minutes with Dr. Joe Mock of Orbit Law Firm Berlin. Joe, a very, very pleasure to have that wonderful, lovely dialogue with you, and talk to you soon.
David, it was so great to be here with you. Thanks a lot for having me.
Thanks.
Dieser Podcast dient ausschließlich Informationszwecken. Die besprochenen Inhalte stellen weder eine Anlageberatung noch eine Empfehlung oder ein Angebot zum Kauf oder Verkauf von Fondsanteilen dar. Bitte treffen Sie Investitionsentscheidungen ausschließlich auf Basis offizieller Verkaufsunterlagen.